Welcome to the Renaissance Christian Church Podcast, a church family with the mission of seeking God, serving others, and sharing the gospel. We're grateful that you have joined us as we study through the Bible, and we hope that it brings you encouragement and inspiration for your daily life. Here's Pastor John Banman.
I'm going to share briefly, Lord willing, briefly, from a small passage in Hebrews, and this little passage is just dynamite. I mean, it just speaks to the core of why we're here tonight, and indeed it speaks to the entire motivation and means by which we are here tonight. So we're going to go right at it and look at this passage. After I read the passage, then I have three questions that I'm going to discuss with you all. And then we'll have another song, and as we're playing that song, you can go back and get elements, and we'll share communion together, and then have one more closing song, and that'll be our evening. So the verse is in Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. If you have a Bible, or you can find one in the pew in front of you, hopefully, go ahead and just turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. And I'll go ahead and read. So verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters," I'll just insert that there. "Therefore, brothers," meaning the church, "since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's great to see that we're all here tonight meeting together. We're already fulfilling one of the primary points of application by being here tonight. So thankful for that and for our church and our commitment to the Lord. So like I said, I have three questions. And the first question is really found in a few places, but right at the beginning, the very first line, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places." The first question is, should we have confidence to enter the holy places? Should we be able to just go right into the Holy of Holies, fully confident, and have all kinds of confident assurance to enter that holy place? You know, I mean, there's plenty of evidence in the Bible that we should absolutely have no confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies. During the time before Christ's first advent, when they would practice all the ritual sacrifices and worship in the temple, only the priests would go into the holy place where they had the lampstand and the bread of the presence. And then only once a year would the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. And when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies that one time a year, first of all, I guarantee you he made sure he was all prayed up, right? Number one. Number two, he would put on this tunic. This tunic was a single woven fabric with no seams. By the way, a little side note there. Do you remember why the Romans, when they crucified Christ, they didn't divide up his garment, but instead they gambled for it? Why? Because they didn't want to tear it up. Why did they not want to tear it up? Because it was a single woven garment with no seams in it. Right? So the high priest wears this garment that is a single woven garment, with just a hole at the top, put his head through, and it drapes down. It's a long robe. And at the end of the robe are these tassels, and it alternates on these tassels a pomegranate and a golden bill, a pomegranate and a golden bill, a pomegranate, golden bill. And so when the high priest goes in to the Holy of Holies in the very presence of God in the temple, you can hear the bells tinkling as he's moving around in there and doing his thing and lighting the incense and doing his ritual, sprinkling the blood on the altar, etc. And the bells tell everybody else that he's still alive, right? Because he's in the Holy of Holies. And there are times in the biblical history where it didn't go so well and they didn't survive that, right? Because they're in the Holy of Holies. They're in the presence of God. Not only that, they would tie a rope around his ankle. So if God just smote him, they could pull him back out of the Holy of Holies, right? So, you know, that doesn't instill a lot of confidence, does it? That the high priest, the most holy guy in all of Jerusalem, goes in there once a year and they have to put bells on his hems and tie a rope around his ankle. Not only that, in this very chapter, if you skip down just a few to, I want to go up to 9:23. It just kind of illustrates what I just shared. In chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." And actually, I'm going to come back to this verse. I'm going to go back down to our verse, our paragraph. If you skip down just one paragraph, at the end of the very next paragraph, in verse 30, let's start in verse 30. "For we know him who said," he's talking about God, "we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." And then he finishes that paragraph with, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Okay, you feeling confident yet about entering into the holy place? You know, this very same author in the very next paragraph is saying, look, the Lord will judge his people, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is a holy, righteous, altogether other than powerful creator of the universe who demands perfect obedience and holiness. And should we have assurance? Should we be confident about entering into his presence, into the Holy of Holies? Further down in Hebrews 12, the author talks about an event in the Old Testament when the children of Israel have made the exodus out of Egypt, and they go out into the desert, and they're standing out in front of the Mount Sinai, and there's dark clouds over the top of the mountain, and there's lightning, and there's thunders, and God says, you know what, don't let any animal touch the mountain, or I'll just kill it immediately. And the author of Hebrews talks about this, and he says in chapter 12, starting in 18, if I can get there, he says, "For you have not come to what may be touched," talking about that Old Testament Mount Sinai, "you," talking to us, "you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hares beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.'" Even Moses himself trembled with fear when faced with going up onto the mountain and coming face to face with God. He trembled, and the people of Israel was like, "Moses, we can't bear it. You go. You go and listen to God's voice. We can't even bear to hear his voice, and you tell us what he said." Right? And the author of Hebrews is actually going to say, if it was terrifying for them, how much more terrifying is it for us? Because he continues and he says, "But you have come to Mount Zion." Not a mountain out in the desert, but Mount Zion, the kingdom of heaven, "and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Brothers and sisters, we come at this from a place of humility. It is the only proper way to think about God's presence and the Holy of Holies. The author of Hebrews is saying, look, if Moses was terrified, he just went up to some mountain out in the desert. But you, when you come to worship as a Christian, you're entering into Mount Zion, the heavenly place. You are entering in the presence of a holy God. How much more should we tremble and fear at the idea of that whenever it is we're worshiping him? So should we be confident to enter into the Holy of Holies? Verse 19 says we should be confident. How is it that we should be confident? Before we answer that, that's the third question, how. But before we answer that third question, I want to ask another question. And that is, do we want to? Why should we want to? Why would we want to risk eternal damnation, wrath and judgment of God to enter into the Holy of Holies? Why would we want to do that? Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know what? To enter into the presence of God means ultimate joy, ultimate fulfillment, ultimate pleasure. The greatest fulfillment of everything we ever dream of or hope for or can't even imagine. In the right hand of God are pleasures forevermore. Anybody want a piece of that? Anybody want some of that? In his presence are pleasures forevermore. The main thing that we would want to enter into the Holy of Holies for is the very presence of God himself. Think about it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Godhead who created the universe. The Father who spoke creation into being. The Holy Spirit that was hovering over the waters. The Son through whom all things were created by and for. Would you like to have a conversation with those guys? Would you like to have a little sit-down, little Bible study, little science project, little art class, right? With the Trinity itself? I would. I would risk anything for that, honestly. Not to mention that just being in his presence, if you could somehow manage it, if you could somehow sustain that. I mean, when people saw an angel of God, just a lowly messenger of God, every time in the Old Testament and New, they just fell over dead. And then the angel would have to come up and touch them and lift them up and restore them and empower them just to hear God's message through an emissary. What about speaking directly in the presence and the person of God? How awesome would that be? That would surpass anything we could ever experience. I want to enter the Holy of Holies. But how? How is it that the author of Hebrews, who simultaneously is saying it is a terrifying thing, a fearful thing to enter into the hands, be in the power of a holy God, how is it that is possible? Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. It's Christ. It is Christ who has ripped that curtain half and given us access to the Holy of Holies. It's Christ, by his sacrifice, that he empowers us, enables us, washes us clean, and enables us to enter into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. Jesus has opened the way through the curtain. And isn't it interesting that Jesus opened a living way by his death? He made a trade with us, an exchange. He traded our death for his life. And he took on our death, and he gave us his life, that we might enter into and experience the holy places of the Lord. Is that not an awesome exchange? By the new and living way, he opened for us the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This is where I wanted to read. Brief little passage in verse 9 about the high priest. It says, thus it was necessary. This is the author's talking about the Old Testament, talking about the high priest and how the high priest was a foreshadowing of Christ, the true high priest. So this is chapter 9, verse 23. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. Did you catch that? The high priest would enter every single year into the man-made tabernacle, the representation, the prototype, the model, the shadow of the true heavenly temple. The high priest would enter that holy place once a year, and he would do it through what? Blood not his own, right? It's the blood of a bull. And he'd go in there and ritually sprinkle that blood on the altar, right? On the mercy seat. But Jesus didn't go into a man-made temple. So it's appropriate that we're looking at this passage in a year that we're going through Revelation, because Revelation is about revealing what's going on behind the scenes. We see what's going on in the world, but Revelation shows us what's going on behind the scenes. Hebrews does exactly that with the crucifixion of Christ. As Christ is hanging on the cross and dying, people just see a man dying a criminal's death alongside two other criminals. But what's happening in the spiritual realm, in the more real realm, is Jesus is entering into the very temple of God, the presence of God, the heavenly temple. And he's taking his own blood. Not like the high priest who takes the blood of a bull, but Jesus takes his own blood and he pours his own blood on the heavenly altar of God, sacrificing his own life to wash and ransom us from sin. For then he would, so it continues in this passage, and just as it appointed, verse 26, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So Christ went into the heavenly temple one time almost 2,000 years ago, and he poured his own blood on the altar to wash us, to sprinkle us, to cleanse us, so that we may boldly and confidently enter in to the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. Right? And then it says he's going to come again. But notice, when he comes again, he's not coming to make a sacrifice. He's not coming to save the lost. He's not coming to ransom unbelievers from sin. He is coming to take those who are already ransomed, those who have put their faith and hope and trust in him. So the question for us tonight, number one, are you one of those? Because at his return, he's not coming to ask you, are you ready to believe? He's coming to take the believers to heaven. And if you're not one, you face his judgment. You face his wrath. Today is the day of salvation. Don't think that there's going to be some sign that'll give you one last chance to repent. This is it. Jesus already came. He already died. He already made the sacrifice. And it's appointed to each of us to live one life. This is the only life we have. And we have to make a decision. Will we put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ and allow him to wash us clean? And if you have not done that, I encourage you to do that this evening, even as we begin to sing the next song. I encourage you to confess to the Lord your sin. Express your hope and faith in him. Confess and believe that God rose him from the dead. Bow your knee to him and claim him as your Lord. And if you are already his child, if you have already made that confession, my encouragement to you tonight is don't hang back. Don't fear. Enter boldly. The passage says, enter with bold confidence into the holy presence of the Lord. If there is sin in your life, if there is something you know you've blown it, and it's hanging there and it's getting in the way, it's simple. Confess it. As we worship right now, as we enter into this time of worship and singing, confess that sin to him. Scripture says he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess that sin to him. And it just also requires us for us to agree with him, to admit, to say, Lord, I'm blowing it in this area. Help me. Wash me, cleanse me, and he will immediately, like that. Help me to repent. Give me a new direction. Help me to trust you to do the hard thing, to take that step that just feels so awkward and wrong and different and uncomfortable, and just take it anyway. And he'll do it. He will empower you to take that step. So we're going to share communion. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, that Izzy's going to come up and lead us in worship. And as he's leading us in worship, go ahead and when you're ready, go back and take one of the elements and just return to your seat. And then after he's done with the song, we'll share in the communion together. So, Lord, thank you so much, Jesus, that you opened the way for us. You tore the curtain in half through your own death, through your own blood, that we might enter boldly into your presence, boldly into the Holy of Holies. Lord, where we can experience and share the ultimate fellowship with you and with one another, and even the saints who've gone on, who are with you in paradise, that we can commune together with you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, God, even as we continue to worship. Amen.
Thanks for joining us in today's study. If you'd like to know more about us or where you can attend one of our services, you can find information online at www.renaissance-church.com. Thanks for listening.